Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
On the 7th of May 2002, Celtic and the Celtic fans travelled to Leeds for the Gary Kelly testimonial. On that night, Tomo, Henrik, Sean Maloney and John Hartson hit the back of the net as Celtic ran out 4-1 winners. A full house of over 26,000 fans attended the game. But the real story behind the testimonial was that all the money raised was going to Cancer Centre in Drogheda and also a cancer charity in Leeds. I sat down a few years ago with Gary to chat about the testimonial, his connection with cancer after his sister Mandy died, and his career.
Welcome to Drogheda, a glorious sunny day, my hometown. This is an estate called Marion Park, or known to the locals as Mar Park. I come from an estate across the road called Bowlesgrove. They've both produced brilliant sports people, politicians, and also some great business people. There wasn't a lot to do around here back then. There was no computer games, so most people played sports. We had a running club, boxing club, soccer club, GAA clubs. So everybody was basically on the street playing ball. And in particular, the person that lives in this house behind me was always out on the street with a ball. One of the most famous sons of Drogheda. He's done some brilliant stuff for Drogheda since his career has finished. And we're just going to knock up now and see if he's going to come out for a wee chat with us.
Well, it's
Gary Kelly.
All right, yeah.
Will you come out for a wee chat?
Yeah, sure enough.
Thanks very much for taking time to chat to us. Football club to the right, the shops to the left. I stayed next door for 2 weeks when my mum was off sunning herself when I was a teenager, in with Fergus and Deirdre, looked after me. But I always remember you with a ball against that wall. Ba-boom, 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 all the time. Was it always football, Gary?
Yeah, I know, it was a great day, so it was. Being the youngest of 13, so many young lads around the streets as well. We just always constantly had a ball. If it wasn't soccer, it was Gaelic, you know, and we'd have to play gates or up into the field and cause havoc, you know, but great days.
And it led on to a glittering career from Drogheda boys onto Over the Water. Will you come with me for a proper chat? Because it's getting a bit warm here.
It's a bit warm for you there. Let's go for a chat.
Let's go. So, Gary, in from the sunshine of Marion Park, something we didn't see too much over the years. We spoke there about, you know, playing on the streets in Marion Park, and you still knock about with the lads you grew up with.
Oh yeah, I think it's a big thing that kept us grounded over the years. Like we said, we were in Leeds for 17 years, and the boys love a weekend away as well, and I think they turned it into a project themselves, you know. They tried to get over sort of once a month, and as you say, still to this day now, I think we're godfathers to kids and bits and pieces, and we're still all brothers, you know. I mean, we always classed ourselves as brothers growing up on the street, all stuck together, and it's no different now, you know.
And then, like, obviously the lads played football with you for many years, and then you moved to Ham Farm from Drogheda Boys. Mm-hmm. And you would have played with a couple of lads then that went on to be pro footballers, because when we were letting people know we were doing this little interview, a couple of ex-players that had played over in England and maybe didn't make it and came back and played League of Ireland,
yeah,
made some comms and that. So, was the step up big, leaving Drogheda Boys, or did it give you good grounding?
Yeah, Drogheda Boys was brilliant. We played in a good standard as well. We started in really low leagues and we sort of kept progressing. The likes of Paddy O'Boyle. I know there's a couple of Paddy O'Boyles in the town now, right? But his dad was a sergeant. And he used to be banging in 50, 60 goals a year. It was ridiculous for under 12s, 13s, 14s. And then we sort of got right up to the A division then, which Home Farm, Belvedere and all them likes were there. But then Home Farm sort of came knocking to go to Mill Cup with them. I think it was the end of June, July, just for a week, just to represent Drogheda, but play with them. And then after that, sort of liked it that much. Got to the final, beaten by Spurs, Nicky Bambi and all them. They're the good side, Sol Campbell. And then when we came back, Paddy Hilliard was the manager of Home Farm. Got in touch with Drogheda Boys and my dad and that, and said, would I like to come up to Home Farm for and sign? So went up there, signed 1 year with them. I think we won the treble, All-Ireland Cup as well. Some great players, PJ O'Connell. There was loads, and PJ actually came to Leeds with us then at the end of that year, Leeds scout. There was a few scouts after us, but we went and trialled the city, Man City. Didn't like it, came home after 3 days. Such a home board. And then went to Leeds then, and then the rest is history. PJ came, he had a 3-year contract, I got a 3-year contract. PJ came home after a year and a half with a bad knee injury, so it was lonely, really lonely then for a while, but stuck in then. And just sort of progressed from there.
But of course, you come from a family of 13, mm-hmm, and youngest of 13, so everyone was looking out for you and looking after you. How hard is it when a young player, from your experience, moves away from the hometown to a strange city?
Yeah, it was really hard. So I was the only one out of the family that sort of ever went away and stayed away, And I always thought, after 3 years, that's grand. 3 years now, I'll be home after 3 years, so it's not too bad, But every sort of 2 years, either Howard Wilkes and whoever the manager was, put another 3 years onto it, and then it was another year. It was nearly like a jail sentence at one time. Said, I'll never go home to see my mum and dad. But it was really hard. Where we were was in Beeston. It was around a 10-minute walk down to Ellen Road. Rough area, lovely people, but I think it was tough. It was strange. One day we always knew the house had been watched or something like that, and we were all in digs. And we walked down to Ellen Road. Next time we come back and seen the front door pushed in, I went, oh my God, it's after been broken into. And there was around 10 different rooms, and we were on the second last floor. Every other room was ransacked, but mine and PJ's. Every other room, tellies, everything gone, and there was nothing touched in our room. So we said, someone's keeping an eye on us, but we never knew who it was, It was a strange story, but the cops even questioned us. Thought it was an inside job. We were training, but the whole house was ransacked but our room, so someone was minding us for 17 years, yeah.
But PJ came home, he didn't make it, and as a lot of kids don't, and that can be hard to come back. I remember speaking to John Carolan, who played with Liverpool reserves and didn't, and when John came back to play League of Ireland, he said he had an attitude of, oh, I've made it now, when he got there. Mm. Was there a bit of that with you, or did you have to work hard to, because you moved fairly quick into the first team,
Yeah, it was strange. I think when you signed for a big club, when Leeds was a big club as well, it was the year that they won the title as well. So starting off, it was tough, you have to sign for Leeds United in the Championship, it was the top league at the time. And you always think, is it a dream or is it whatever? You didn't really know, It was weird. You'd go onto the football pitch and just think it was just a normal game of ball. You'd forget that you were playing for Leeds United, one of the biggest clubs in the country, never mind Europe probably, And then as it progressed, then we started getting better and better. Big names were coming in. We were starting to get noticed and noticed. More noticed as a club, as a team, players. But it was tough. But a lot of kids that did go over and come home really early still thought they made it. And they still think they made it, Because they signed 3 years and all that. A lot of them had to come home with injuries and bits and pieces. But it is, it's a weird one. I never sort of thought you made it, because I think if you think you made it at an early age, then it's gone to your head, and you won't focus on what you went over there to do, and do you know what I mean? So big games on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you just have to focus out of all the attention and all the media stuff and bits and pieces, and just concentrate on your ball and don't mind what's off the pitch.
And you've gone over, you've broken into the force team. It's full of, you know, Gordon Strachan's, Gary McAllister. These are all household names, mm-hmm. international players. You're a kid. When you made your debut, in the season that he's won the league, the last year of the old force division, you know, and then this team progressed on to the Champions League, a semi-final. You know, did you ever envisage that, you know, it would go so quick that you would go from youth player to the force team?
No, definitely not. A lot of luck as well, you know what I mean? Like, if the two of us went over centre forwards, we sent PJ from Home Farm. PJ was miles better, bigger, stronger player. Used to being away, went in all sorts of trials, bits and pieces. And I was the lad from Drogheda, big family, mad to go home. A bit sheepish, small, skinny. It was just sort of luck of the draw, you know. It happened to just, PJ got injured in the U team, and then I was brought on sort of, I think it was Forest away, the year they won the title for Strachan on the wing. And then sort of from the wing to up front or whatever like that. But it was more so on the wing. And it sort of progressed from there. And then the likes of Mel Stirling got injured. I think the second year then, Mel Stirling got injured. I didn't show the face at all in the force team. And it was until, as I said, Mel got injured. And then Howard Wilkinson just had a brainwave to just say, we're going to put you at right back for the upcoming season and see how you do. Played us there for pre-season. I think we ran 10 games and played us in them all. And then the rest was sort of history after that. He just stuck with us at right back, you know, and then happened to get into the Irish squad as well, you know.
Yeah, the Irish squad guys, you know, your dad and your brothers, the family, like, and your mates and that, even at, underage level, it must be so proud to pull that green jersey on for the first time.
Oh, to be called in as well, you know, like, you start playing well. What was it, 1994 season for Leeds, and then you start hearing that Jack Charlton's coming to watch you at Elland Road, and you go, oh my God, I'm going to get into the squad, you know what I mean? And then finally you get into a squad, Jack pulls you after the game and says, I'm thinking of bringing you into the squad on Sunday. And then happy enough in the squad, and then there's a World Cup coming up, and you go, hardly am I going to be on this airplane going to America, you know? Done well. It was the same time as Jason McAteer and Phil Babb come in, and they done really well in the Irish for the friendly against Russia up in the old Lansdowne, and we done well and we stayed in all the games and we got great results. So we brought the three of us. So there was three young lads sort of breaking into the old head of Jack's guard. You know what I mean? So that was great days. So they were, and we just happened to get to a World Cup as well. You know.
But that was very hard with Jack, because Jack was very loyal to the older players. Mm-hmm. You know. I don't want to jump forward too far, but when Mick took the team over, there wasn't that many players left. But if you go back, I remember speaking to Ray Houghton, and he was saying like that he didn't think he was going to go to America, mm-hmm. but Jack had faith in him, and then he played in America, you know, because he said he wasn't really, you know, a lot of people didn't think he'd play, and so Jack was very loyal. So to bring you in at such a young age, maybe, and then I suppose he's become, you know, the cover story, you know, the three amigos.
Yeah, Jack was loyal to all the old guard, all right. So I think everyone in the country from Italian 90 to 94, that squad, like the household names, you know. You're going from Bonner to Chris Hughton, Chris Houghton, you know, right through to Stapleton and the whole lot, and the rest is history, you know. And then sort of we brought the younger field into the old brigade. It was tough to break in and all right, but we were young characters and they took to us straight away. You know, we weren't sort of shy going in. Like, if there was a night out, we'd be gone with them, you know what I mean? We'd have no say. But, Jack thought he'd stick to the old brigade, but he sort of freshened it up a little bit, and we were sort of doing so well with our clubs. And we were lucky. We just got our heads down, and we were kids, and we got on well with the Irish lads. And we were playing sort of good ball with our clubs. I think Jason was at Bolton, was it? It was before the two boys went to Liverpool, wasn't it?
Phil was at Coventry.
And Jason was at Bolton, and I was at Leeds, and we were all sort of doing all right, coming good, and we were Irish lads. As you're saying, the boys were getting a little bit older now, and he was probably looking for fresh legs as well, so we just sort of broke into the team, and the rest goes from there. It was great days, you know.
It was kind of surreal for, like, you know, local people from Drogheda. I remember sitting in a pub for one of the games. I think it was the Norway game, and you're watching the game, and you know, there's little stories, you know, Gary Kelly, like, you know, people, yeah. And a couple of your mates are in the pub that you grew up at, and so, you know, everything's going, and there's little stories going around, and I turned around to my mates and I said, well, sorry, the last time I seen Gary Kelly, he was flying by me on a bicycle in Ballsgrove.
Yeah.
And the next time I'd heard Aang, you know, and he gave me a shout, he drove by on a bike, and the next to hear in the local paper, you know, yeah, he signed for Leeds. And then, but to progress then onto the international stage, and I'm going to be honest, when you were going to that World Cup, I didn't think you'd play in it, because
no.
Dennis Irwin was the main man at Man United. And I thought, you know, he's going there for the experience.
Yeah.
But then, of course...
Yeah. You know, I didn't care either. I was on the plane. I was going to the World Cup. And I was going, Jesus, you know, I'm going with my club. I'm going with my country just to be part of it. And then Dennis picked up yellow against Italy. And then a yellow against Mexico, I think it was. Something anti was out. So I was going, I have a chance to get in here, you know. So you just go, at least I'm after playing one. You're just thinking ahead, like, he's going to put Dennis back in. At least I'm going to play one game for Ireland, you know. So we played against Norway. We got the point that we deserved at the Giant Stadium. And then the decision had to come, does he put Dennis back in or does he put, or do I stay in, you know. So he picked, more or less picked the same team and kept us in there. So very grateful to Jack and all that, but Dennis was... He's up there with one of the best left back and right backs. He could play either side, you know. To great fee, and then the utmost respect for him, you know. Dennis, great man.
I wouldn't be knocking yourself, now, you know. You may have
I'd always class up my career as a bit of luck. There's always better players and three in the centre. He can pull it back across. To go through six or seven managers and he's still stuck with you. I know you had to do something right, but I'd always go, you have to be blessed as well, you know.
Your modesty showing through there. Even trying, how long have you trying to get you to sit down and be interviewed? You know,
yeah.
Just because, like, you're not really the typical ex-footballer, you know, that's on the SERG or, you know, working with the media.
Yeah.
It's just a quiet life. But so you're at Leeds, everything's going brilliant for you, you know, and like in the end, you played over 500 games for Leeds and captained the team, and Leeds was good to you, Gary. It was a city that was good to you. You know. Put a roof over your family's head.
I'd always say that to you. I'd always class Leeds as, you know, I'd say to the kids, you know, see them feet there. And the little one would go, yeah, they're old and rusty. I said, but them old and rusty feet, that's closing your back and the roof over your head, you know. But they'd all giggle, and the eldest would go, oh, here he goes again, you know, another half an hour of this crap.
But it's typical working class values, isn't
it?
You brought it up for your family. Like,
I tried to get them to think that, to appreciate it, it just wasn't given to you. You know, the dad and mum had to work hard for it. And even those as well, it was great to come home. They keep it grounded as well. Because we'd Laura and Lee really early, myself and Jules, 22, 23. And then it's only when we come home there, we have Casey now. We're home 11 years and we have Casey 8, you know, so... It's great. Myself and Jules are still young, you know, 44. We have a 22-year-old, 20-year-old, and an 8-year-old. And it's great because we wanted that, to have that sort of, not parents that was sort of older, I'm not knocking parents that's older, but just have that fun, loving experience and, you know, life with them, you know.
Yeah, and then...
And make sure they were grounded.
Which is very hard, I'd say, because, the dad's famous.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not walking down the mine.
No, it doesn't work like that. So they've more or less, they've half a Ballsgrove in them and they've half a Marion Park in them.
Two great
and
communities.
And a lot of draught. So, no, we never let them go like that, no.
I'm going to just go back to Marion Park and to Ballsgrove. Obviously, your wife, Julianne, from your childhood sweetheart, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But like most, they say, you know, every good man has a great woman behind him. But you have eight great women behind you.
Yeah. Sisters. My mum and... Jules, as you say, yeah. That was great, yeah. Like, even a lot of people would say that, you know, where did you get her from, you know? Like, every one of them, mine, I was the youngest in the family, I was the baby of the household. I think Monday I was with, I was Jean, Wednesday I was with Pamela, or Mandy, or Yvonne, or Pamela, you name it, or Marie. So one day I think they all had me, and then it was the lads the weekends when Mum and Dad go out and bring him to the football, so... I'd always go with a bit of them all, so that's why sometimes I get that twitch that I'm not mentally sane, you know, because they're all mad things, you know. They're all mad.
I've chatted to your sisters, and even when we were shooting up in Marion Park, like, and some of the stories you told me when you left, we can't put them on camera, but, you know, we might make a series about it.
They're all bonkers, yeah.
But, like, everything is going well for you. You're in Leeds, you know, you're living the dream, you're Irish international, and then you're dropped with the news of Mandy.
Mm.
that she's got cancer.
Like, yeah.
You know, how does that affect?
Yeah, it was tough, really hard. And like Mandy and Deck were brilliant to us. You know, everyone was brilliant to us, even Drod, and never mind the family. But Mandy and Deck was sort of my advisor, and Mandy's my sister, were really close to all my family. But it was just sort of a connection there that we were really, really joined, you know, at the hips. And she was at my first Premier League appearance at Main Road, Man City, and she'd be there wearing a Leeds jersey with Kelly 22 on the back. She was just great, you know. And then you get the news over the phone, and you go, this can't be real. You go, you know, she'll get rid of this. I don't know, many times we got the phone call to say that, no, got the all clear, you know. And then probably a month later, no, it's back again. And I think it was worse when I came back then. I was going, Jesus, what's gone down here? Because you never think it's going to happen to your own family. And then when it happens to someone like Mandy, it just destroyed us, you know. But even going a little bit, when Mandy passed away then, I remember my dad saying, I was 5 days home after the funeral. And he more or less says to us, you know, when are you going back? He says, so what's happening with you, my man? You used to call me your man. And he says, you're going to go back or what? And I said, it was no humour. I just thought that was it then, you know, throw the hat in. Dad was the bad cop, my mum was the good cop, you know. Come on, you have to go back, you've kids. And, you know, I went back straight away, sort of immune to everything, just doing my training, going back to the house, just living in a shell. George Graham called us in and he says, this team won't do anything without you for the rest of the season. Unless you get your finger out, I'm going to make a captain of the club and drive them players on because they're all heartbroken looking at you. So we made us captain of the club, Leeds United. And I said, geez, I can't let down the boys as well, you know, because I was just in a bad place. And off we went, we got into Europe. And then the story sort of folded on from then. We were getting Europe each year, and then we start creeping into Champions Leagues and all that, on and off being captain. So I remember George Graham saying that you got to lift them players because they're fed up looking at you just being so down. Didn't think it happened to our family, but it did. Just shows, takes no prisoners, cancer.
Well, there's many, you know, and we're lucky enough, there's a couple of statues to great sporting people from Drogheda in the town. And every football ground I go to, you know, you'll see a statue. There's one outside Leeds, there's a couple outside Celtic. But I suppose, you know, the greatest statue that can be ever built to you has already been built. Mm. And that's the Gary Kelly Cancer Centre. And, like, it's, you know, speaking from people who have been through it, it's, you know, it's your legacy, you know. Even though, you know, over 500 games for Leeds, international player, and that, you know, it's funny that your legacy is outside football. And I remember when the testimonial came about, because it was against my club, yeah. Celtic, you know, and I just remember how proud, you know, to be in the stadium that yeah. night. And not because we beat us 4-1, right?
Yeah, hammered.
But because it was like such a, because we were raising funds for. And the town of Drogheda, the spirit before the game, I remember your brother Bill coming into McHugh's and he was selling non-attendance tickets. And everybody was buying them, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't enough for debate, you know. The support was there. Not really sure what was happening. And then obviously, you know, the game, it was a brilliant occasion.
Yeah,
you know?
It was great.
Everyone has stories, like, from we arrived in Leeds till we left, it was like walking down West Street.
Yeah.
You know, that was the love that people had for you and what you were doing.
Yeah.
And everyone was so proud. And I always speak to people about it in Glasgow, you know, and they were down at the game. And, like, you know, I suppose, if it wasn't for that game, you know, Gary Kelly wouldn't be on the radar. It was because that, you know, the couple of quid we paid for a ticket or the programme we bought that day, it was coming back, you know, and half of the money stayed in Leeds, which I think is, because Leeds was good to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there was money there for the Leeds cancer. I think it's Youth Trust or something like that, because it was important as well, because half my life was in Leeds, you know what I mean? Mm. But we sort of just wanted to sort of say that thanks to Mandy as well, and just so make sure that she wasn't forgotten. And still, you know, the girls are wounded doing half marathons, ladies marathons, full marathons, but they don't care, you know what I mean? They can see a light there now that they say, we can get to the end of this, we can fight this, and as you say, the cancer's up there, and it's just showing that it can be done if a community all come together. And they go, two clubs that don't really get on, great Leeds and Celtic, to come together and have a great night and get 21,000 there, or 29,000, wherever it was. And then, as you say, the cancer house still going strong. You'd love to say that, people ask you, how's it going up there? You'd love to say, yeah, there was no one in this week, but it's not like that. It's not that game, you know. It's packed through the rafters, you know what I mean? We can nearly do it. Another one up in Dundalk and all that. I think that's in the future now. We're aiming to get another one. on the land or somewhere even closer, so a lot of sick people don't have to travel to it. But it's there at the moment, as you say. I miss her shocking and all that, but her legacy will never be forgot. And she'll still be my sister. I still count that. I've taught you, and, you know, brothers and sisters or whatever like that. She's not gone anywhere. It's only a while before we get up to see her, you know.
And guys, this is, like you said, community. And community is, very, it's it from your street in Marion Park to the town of Drogheda, to county, to County Louth and County Meath. The Gary Kelly Centre kind of epitomised community because the tradesmen all came together, got the time up.
Yeah, top
you know,
top.
People raised money, and it's completely privately funded, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, and which is amazing, like you know.
Yeah, people know they're diagnosed with cancer and all that, and they don't go home and tell their children. They don't tell their husbands or their sisters and all that, but they go into their house and they'll open up to the trustees up there. So it's their getaway, but it's there for absolutely anyone, you know. I'd be telling them, just go and see Anne Tracy. Anne Tracy and the committee up there, they're just brilliant, you know. Deck Weldon, the chairperson, and everything, you know, Barbara Bourne. You can go on, there's loads of them all over the years, Phil that's left. They've all put in the map, but as you say, the town just pulled together, the area just pulled together. So, as I'm saying, like, with the flyer coming up and all that, how we got that 2 years in a row, this place, if it puts its mind together, it can do anything, you know what I mean? And the people are great. Like a lot of people say, oh, Drogheda's full of begrudges and all that. No, it's not. It's the proof's in the pudding. Look, they've closed the gate there, the Lanzas gate. We've a cancer house now because they all pulled together. It just needs to be pushed in the right direction. And if we all stick together, we can get there.
And hopefully we will. Mm. Just before we wrap up, I just want to talk about Drogheda. Like, a lot of players, when they go away, you know, a lot of celebrity style people, they don't come back, you know, they live. Was Drogheda always on the horizon when you were talking?
Oh yeah, as I said, the first contract I got was 3 years, and I was going, well, 16, at least I'll be home when I'm 19, you know. I never thought, you know, and I could always say I played for Leeds for 3 years. I was over there on trial. He was a great player, you know. And then over and over, when I remember my last contract, David O'Leary and Peter Ridgedale gave us a 6-year contract, and I just remember saying to Deck Weldon and Jules and my mum and dad, and I said, after this, that'll be 17 years at one club. A few opportunities go somewhere else. I said, that's it then. I want to have a bit of a life with my mum and dad and Jules' mum and dad, and sort of come home and appreciate Drogheda and Ireland and all that, coming home after being away for so long and bring up my kids over here, you know what I mean? So now we're home 11 years, and it's great. Great, can walk in, have a normal pint. Everyone's sick looking at us now. They're not go.
There's no
you know, get us a jersey or can you get us a ticket or whatever like that. Now it's, he's in the pub again, is he? No, but it's just one of those. You're sort of part of the function now, and that's the way I liked it. And that's what it was like at Leeds as well. They're going, Kelly's right back today. And we said, well, it's part of the function there. So it's great now being at home now. They're used to seeing us now. So they're paying no heed on us. So it was great.
And guys, it's been an absolute pleasure, right? I don't think this is the end of the conversation, because I think there's other stuff to talk about as the years go by and down the road. And I'd just like to say thank you very much for chatting to us.
Thanks for having us.
All Celtic Soul podcasts are free to listeners, and you can listen to them across all platforms or on our YouTube channel, Celtic Fanzine TV. If you would like to support what we're doing, as we don't put anything behind a paywall or Patreon, you can do so by visiting CelticFanzine.com, where you can become a member, subscribe, buy or donate for the price of a pint or a coffee.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.